The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell just got bigger. Featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter. Jason Peter under the helmet. With Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, here we go with the Big E Sports Show. Up next is Jason Peter with our weekly Under the Helmet segment. We always look forward to our conversation. And yes, we are going to talk about the commissioners endorsing the four-team college football playoff. Yes, that conversation will continue. Jason and I got into that last week, but I'm interested to hear about how his golfing outing went with Larry the Cable Guy in the great state of Nebraska. How are you, Jason?
I'm good. How are you, Alyssa? Unfortunately, I don't have much to report.
Why is that?
You know, this is the problem when you deal with these high-profile celebrities that, you know, everything kind of revolves around their world, and I fell victim to, the want or the necessity of the comedian Larry the Cable Guy and his requirements that he, I guess, whether it's a studio or something to do in his business life, prevented us from going out there. Now, that's what he told me. I also firmly believe that he didn't want to get his butt kicked again, because that is kind of a recurring theme when the two of us go, is that he comes out usually on the losing end. Not usually, always on the losing end.
You know, at one time I had a listener that had actually emailed us and wanted to know what kind of golfer is Larry? I mean, is he pretty good?
I'll tell you, I will give him credit that he was stubborn in the beginning, just did not want to take a lesson. I said, just go and meet with somebody. Let them just show you different things from setup to grip and everything else. Because, you know, he was at a point where he's trying to hit it down the fairway. He's aiming at me sitting over in the cart.
You know, you got to anchor yourself, yeah.
Yeah, you know, he's playing for these hooks and slices and everything else. And so finally, yeah, he didn't tell me that he went to see somebody, but he went to see a local pro here that happens to be a southpaw himself, like Larry. So he has gotten a lot better over the last month. You know, he comes back from these trips from playing Pebble Beach or Bay Hill or wherever, and he's telling me about how he shot 82 and 84. Now, if you've ever played golf or you see him play golf, you should know that at any point during the round, he may decide he doesn't like his second shot on hole 13, and he may hit three or four more balls until he does. But when it comes time to write the final score, there's no memory or recollection in his head about those three extra balls that he hit from 13 in the fairway. But that's one of the things that I think he and I get along is I'm not like anybody in his entourage. I call him out on that stuff and tell him, you know, he needs to save that for somebody else.
Well, you probably play your best golf when you're hanging out with him because he's so relaxed and just you guys are having a good time.
Gives me confidence.
Absolutely.
When you're playing with somebody that, you know, you can either go two ways. One is you kind of, if somebody, your partner's playing bad, you know, and they're in a bad mood and you start to almost take over, you know, the same attitude or state of mind, or you can go the other way. And, you know, fortunately with him, he doesn't get in too many bad moods where, you know, he's still not cracking jokes or doing something like that, but he's a good golf partner for many reasons.
Okay, Jason, we got to get serious now. Lots of news coming out of college football. The commissioners, as I had just mentioned, they have endorsed the four-team college football playoff. This is big news when you talk about college football. What was your take on this?
I think it was coming. I think everybody that followed this story knew, I think, just from the fan pressure that had been on the heads of the conferences and the heads of college football, that we were going in this direction. It was just a matter of how big of a playoff would they, approve and when it would happen. And it seems as though they've been able, at least for now, to agree on a four-team playoff. And I think starting in the 2014 season, and we can't kid ourselves, no matter how much the fans want it or the coaches or the players want it, there's one reason why this is happening. I mean, at least one big reason, and that's because of the money that is going to be generated from these ultimately three games. There's going to be a payout to all conferences, and, they'll divvy it up, I guess, the way that they see fit, but everybody's going to make money. I think they're talking about $400 or $500 million just for the two playoff games themselves.
That's an incredible amount. In fact, Jason and I had asked you that last week, what kind of dollar amount were we talking about? But one thing I want to ask you is, why has it taken so long for the process to evolve and to get to this point and to come up with a definitive plan?
Well, I think when something's working, it's not in everybody's mind to change it. And besides the NFL, college football is number two in terms of America and popularity and money that's generated. And, do you take a chance and change the formula if it's working? I don't know. I think you have a lot of people that run the game in athletic directors and presidents, where you're talking about older people, and life's probably good for them, right? I mean, they're making a nice salary, they're going on vacations, they're putting it on the company credit card. Why do they want to take a chance and risk anything? I mean, ultimately, I think in anything, if you expect growth, you're going to have to make some gambles at time, and you're going to have to change with the times, and I think ultimately that's what they're doing.
Jason Peter with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show with our weekly Under the Helmet segment. We want to direct you to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com, and you can go to Jason's website at jasonpeter.com. And just, the fans have played a very big role in that. For years, college football, they have clung to the postseason revolving around its bowls. And now the fans are truly going to experience, and they're going to get what they want. Right, Jay?
Yeah, I think so many people were frustrated at times with the system, even though the BCS, when it came to number one and number two, for the most part, they got it right. And when they formed the BCS back in 1998, that's ultimately what it was formed or created for. That was to find the best two teams at the end of the year and have them play. It didn't really care about 3 through 35. It could care less, and I think you saw that lots of times, in some of the matchups that you had in bowl games. I mean, the Orange Bowl has been pretty dead for years, and that, goes back to the tie-ins with the Big East, and I know the Big East isn't, they're probably the only conference that really isn't, on board with the new proposal. They're almost, I think, in what I'm reading and the way that other athletic directors are talking, they're almost talking that there's kind of only five big power conferences rather than the six. They're not really including the Big East in that. And I think they're probably the only one that is really putting their foot down when it comes to the conference champion, that you have to be a conference championship champion in order to qualify for
right.
The Final Four, and it's just crazy. I know TCU fans are thrilled down there that they're not packing their bags and going up to the Big East this next year, that they made a wise decision and joining the Big 12, and they're not going to have any issues. If you get the job done out on the field, they'll be playing.
Absolutely, and I have to think, we were talking about just the fans' perspective with all of this, but what about as far as the players, Jason? I mean, what are some of the residuals that they're going to get if you are one of, part of a team that, is in that football playoff?
Yeah, I think it's going to be. I think the players are going to look forward to it. It's kind of a Final Four, similar as to what they do with basketball. Obviously, the tournament is going to be kind of the regular season, but I think players would definitely. I know I would look forward. Two out of the three national championships that we won. There was another team that was undefeated as well, and Penn State in 94, and then Michigan in 97. And to have that opportunity to settle it on the field, you can't ask for anything else as a player. And especially, I mean, in that situation, you have teams that are undefeated, the confidence level, both teams think they're the best team in the country, and up to this point, all you've had is players talking and running their mouth. I mean, I ran my mouth after the 97 championship, and I went on, I think it was, an ESPN interview after the post game, and I gave out my parents' home address and said, if they want to play, we don't need the NCAA to sanction it. We'll play and we'll find a field by my parents' house, and that's where we'll settle it. And my parents weren't thrilled about me
going to say
their home address, but I think as a player, I think you got to be excited about this opportunity.
We only have time for about one more question this weekend with Jason Peter with our weekly Under the Helmet segment. It's been great talking about this as far as the big step forward in college football. And, my heart, I'm thinking about Oklahoma, trying to keep an eye on what's going on up there in Norman. And Bob Stoops had a speaking engagement earlier this month. He clarified the status of the wide receivers that were suspended. When we're talking about Jazz Reynolds and Trey Franks and Jackson, it was last month that this took place. And as I understand, now their scholarships have been taken away. I mean, what is your thought on that? And perhaps how this could impact Sooner Nation?
Well, I think these coaches and these players now are under such a microscope that coaches, they can't sweep things under the rug anymore. They really can't. I mean, they're being held just as accountable for these kids turning into good men as they are for winning championships. Well, maybe that's not the truth, because if you win a championship, everything that happens up to that point is pretty much forgotten about by the fans.
Sure. Or,
for the team that doesn't win the championship, that's one of the things that I think a lot of the fans look at. What type of kids do we have? And you saw that at Ohio State about a week or two ago, where Urban Meyer had taken away the scholarship of two or three of his players, and that they were going to have to pay their way over the summer, and they had the opportunity, if they fulfilled, I guess, their punishment and did X, Y, and Z, that they would be put back on scholarship for the start of next year. And I think you're seeing it now with Bob Stoops making that decision. I think you'll probably continue to see coaches kind of do something similar as to that, but I think it's a good wake-up call for a lot of these kids. Sometimes they're just not using their noggin, and they make dumb mistakes, and this is a way of punishing them, but still giving them the opportunity for redemption and to be able to be good again with their teammates and with their coaching staff.
Well, I'll tell you, Jason, I mean, Coach Stoops, that's one thing. I mean, he's a man of his word. I mean, you can't screw up there. I mean, he got rid of Rhett Bomar, not too long ago, and we certainly remember that and the impact of that. Well, Jason, we certainly appreciate you stopping by. We'll look forward to catching up with you next week. I know you'll be wanting to talk about the NBA draft, won't you?
Absolutely. There's nothing else I am looking more forward to than the draft.
All right. Have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Take care.
We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead. We're getting ready to catch up with Garrett Kramer. He's got a brand new book out titled Still Power, and we're going to be getting into that here in just a moment. Did you know that Complete Production Services is one of North America's leading oilfield service providers, offering field support solutions, equipment, and well production optimization and enhancement to some of the largest oil and gas companies? Complete Production is fully committed to developing solutions for your operating environment and can handle any oilfield demands, well servicing, and rentals. Most importantly, they are committed to superior customer service and also focus on safety and the environment. Service, expertise, innovation. Complete Production Services. Join us online at CompletePproductionServices.com.
Elissa Walker-Campbell to deliver sports the way you want it. Big names, bold interviews. Beyond the X's and O's. Think big. The Big E Sports Show.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, we want to welcome you back this weekend to our show. And especially, you know, during the summer months, we always enjoy taking time for a good book review. And when the publisher of our next guest contacted me, I knew right away this was a book I wanted to feature on our program because as a former collegiate athlete and now covering sports, I've always been fascinated with sports psychology and what separates good athletes from great ones and how to have consistency with your game and how do you improve your sports performance. So we are so delighted to welcome in Garrett Kramer. He is the author of his brand new book. It is titled Still Power, Excellence with Ease in Sports and Life. And welcome to our program, Garrett. It's your first time on our show.
Oh, thanks for having me on, Lisa. Appreciate it.
We've got a lot of stuff that I want to talk about with your brand new book titled Still Power, but I always, as a courtesy, when we have authors, sports authors on our program, I always want to find out what is the inspiration behind your book and putting it together. And so that's my first question off, Garrett, is what was the inspiration behind this book and how you want to provide that helping hand to those athletes out there?
Well, I run a company here in New Jersey, Alyssa, called InterSports, and it wasn't my first job. I was a college hockey player, a good amateur golfer, and then I was a high school hockey coach for years. But I had a job doing all of that. I was in the real estate business. But about 20 years ago now, I started to see that most parents of the high school athletes I coached or we competed against, they were under the notion, and the misguided notion actually, if you put your son or daughter into sports, they would automatically become disciplined or develop leadership skills or perseverance or diligence, et cetera. So sports would be the catalyst for all these characteristics that they wanted to see in their children. But that just wasn't happening. That wasn't happening at all. And in fact, if you take a closer look at collegiate sports, professional sports, we see athletes who are clearly excelling at the highest level. And we look at those athletes' behavior, we'll see across the board, we'll see players struggling. So clearly what occurred to me 17 years ago and why I started InterSports was there was a disconnect between what people thought sports was supposed to do and what was actually happening. So I decided, let me take a closer look and let me find out why that was. Now, that was the reason I started InterSports. And the reason I wrote Still Power was to just kind of encapsulate my experience working with athletes at the highest level over the last 17 years and to point readers in a different direction than I think they're considering currently. And that direction is this. If you were to interview great athletes at their finest moment and ask them to describe their feelings or their feeling state, they'll use words like, I wasn't thinking, it came out of nowhere, I wasn't grinding, I wasn't really trying, I just can't describe how it happened. So they'll describe a state of no thought, what we commonly call the zone, no thought, acting by instincts in freedom, pure freedom. Yet, when athletes are not in that state, what parents and teachers and coaches and sports psychologists commonly do is they throw thought at it. So they throw strategies, techniques, and all these external coping mechanisms at the athlete. So they're trying to, athletes are clearly experiencing a state of no thought, yet in order to get to the zone, these specialists are throwing thought right at the athlete. So what would result there is you take the athlete's inner wisdom, you mix it with the external strategy, and what you would get is bound up thinking and thus errant behavior. And in this book, I'm pointing people to what's happening inside the athlete and then provide solutions and how we can get to a better state of mind and thus better, more success on the field and more contentment off of it.
And Garrett, I'd love for you to share with our listeners how you do you know, achieve that optimum mental performance, the ability, as you're talking about, to perform freely, you know, just that unbounded effort. You reference that and talk about that in the book. And I think many times, you know, we have a son that's a junior golfer, and I see this with parents, even out at the driving range. They're working with their sons, and, you know, the parents are, you know, talking so much about technique and all these different things. And I just want to say, if you will back off and allow them to just have that freedom and get in their own state of mind, make their own decisions, they will be able to execute.
Exactly. So how it works, just let's, I know you have a son around 10 who's a golfer, as you said.
Yes.
But go back to when he was around 2. And if you want proof to how the human mind works, look at young children like your son when he was 2. Like all 2-year-olds, the terrible 2s, those young children are prone temper tantrums or meltdown. Sometimes they just freak out, no holds barred. We all watch, saw that in my children. You did the same thing. But with no skill, no technique, with no how-to, he snaps right out of it. He snaps right out of it, right back to the zone, like it never happened. And the parents look at that young boy or girl like, oh, what was he? They were just freaking out 2 seconds ago. Now look at them. Well, that's the proof. In my mind, that's the proof that when we're in a low state, when our state of mind is low, left alone, it will regulate back to consciousness, back to freedom, and you will find the answers, which is exactly what you just described. So we're out there stepping on the gas pedal when our tires are in mud. We're trying to fight our way out, use willpower to get out of the low. And in this book, I'm suggesting that still power, understanding how the system works, how the human mind works, is a better alternative than trying to do something when you're low.
Gary Kramer is with us just a few more minutes this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. His new book that is out, it is titled Still Power, Excellence with Ease in Sports and in Life. And I think this is a great read if you are an athlete, whether high school, collegiate. But also, you know, what I took away from this is that this is a great read for coaches.
Absolutely. Coaches, unfortunately, so concerned with what comes out of their mouth as opposed to the state of mind from which the words are spoken. So players, students, even at the pro level, this applies. They don't really care. I mean, go back to your college playing days. You don't really care about the words that the coach says. You care about if those words are said from a perspective of judgment or insecurity or ego, versus love, understanding, compassion. So the coach could say the most educated X's and O's kind of game plan. He could, you know, lay it out in front of the team. He or she could lay it out in front of the team. But if those words aren't spoken from a high state of mind, the team will not profit. If no matter what the coach says from a perspective of inspiration or as love as I said, that coach, that team is going to kick butt on the field or on the court or on the course. And that's what I'm saying. Now, we all see that. We see some coaches that kind of, to the public, they look like they don't know the X's and O's of the game. Like, and we look at them, we wonder, how is that guy or gal being successful? They don't even know the game well. You know, Joe Torre is someone that kind of pops into my mind like that. We didn't think when he was coaching the Yankees that he was the best X's and O's type of coach. Yet, Torre understood that he would address his team based on his mindset. So if he found himself in a low state of mind, he kind of pulled back, didn't say much. If he found himself in a high state of mind, he knew he'd automatically be respecting his players. Because when we're in a high state of mind, respect is a byproduct. So Joe Torre knew it was about him. It didn't matter about what the players were doing. He acted based on his state of mind in the moment, and he let that guide him as opposed to the players' behavior, what they were doing. He didn't worry about that. He looked within himself for the right time to address his team. Thus, again, he addressed his team most of the time from a perspective of love and respect.
Here we are flat out of time. Of course, the title of Gary Kramer's brand new book is titled Still Power, The Inner Source for Excellence in Sports and in Life. And we want to encourage you to go to his website, that is Garrett Kramer with a K.com. And congratulations on this. And you hang on the line. I want to talk to you for a few more minutes. Okay, Garrett?
Okay, you bet. Thanks, Melissa.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead with the fastest hour in radio. We will be right back.